You're listening to the Intuitive Souls Podcast. I am your host, Erica Russo, psychic medium and intuitive development coach. This show is all about giving you the conversations, tools, and wisdom you need to live life the intuitive way. Whether you are waking up, wanting to develop your intuition and connection to spirit, or wanting to live a more magical life, I got you covered. I give you grounded, practical, and insightful content that helps you wake up, level up, and connect with your soul. I'm excited you are here. Let's wake up together. All right, guys, it's that time again. March astrology forecast. How are we doing, Hannah?
I'm good. February was I am. Oh, February was just, it's always kind of one of those months where it goes by in a blink of an eye, and it's only what, 3 or 4 days, depending on if it's a leap year, shorter than regular or like, you know, the rest of the year in terms of months. But I feel like February just moves so fast. And this month for me has just been really, really busy. Just with stuff in my personal life and of work. And yeah, it was just kind of a exhausting month.
For being so short.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, between the two new scam accounts that came up in my name and the transmediumship workshop and everything. It was a busy month for me too.
Yeah.
It was. It went by in a flash. I feel like we were just connecting and talking about February like last week, but again, it's a short month. So.
Yeah. And you're another year older now.
I am another year older now. I am. It's definitely, it was a month. It was definitely a month. I just feel like we're going to look back this whole year. I feel like there's going to be so much takeaways in each and every month though, you know?
100%. Absolutely. Well, and 2020 was like that, you know, on steroids. So we are well equipped. We are well equipped to deal with all of this, guys.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So let's do the March astrology. Let's see what we have in store.
Well, first of all, this is a month where we don't have any planets in retrograde. So there's something to celebrate.
That's exciting.
Know, it is. Mercury is direct. You know, we don't have any major, you know, aspects kind of looming over our heads that I need to, you know, warn you about per se, but, right now we're swimming through Pisces season, and you know, Pisces is the mutable water sign. It's the sign of consciousness. And there's a real inward focus right now in terms of where we are being called to direct our energy. You know, finding refuge and perspective in the realm of transcendence is what Pisces is all about, and letting whatever rises to the surface within us emotionally, allowing it to happen in a very fluid and honest way. You know, the element of water is very much about our emotional lives, just like Cancer and Scorpio, the other two water signs, but the ability to feel within the sign of Pisces has been turned way up. So if you have, you know, Pisces, in any of your, you know, sun, moon, or rising, or any of your inner planets, that sense of heightened emotion or sensitivity is definitely a focus in your life. And I can say that because I'm a Pisces moon and I definitely feel all of the feelings all the time. You know, and Pisces is often labeled as, you know, sensitive. And I say that with air quotes. And while that's definitely true, there's nothing incorrect about that label. It's really more about this undefended openness that is attributed to Pisces, which allows Pisces to really morph and melt into another's being or life or feelings, which is, you know, basically empathy. Pisceans are deeply empathic, but, you know, from both an emotional and a psychic sense. So they have this ability to really understand what someone is going through and to sympathize and empathize with them. And that also allows them to have this incredible creative imagination. They're very visual creatures. So we see a lot of Pisces that are natural artists to some degree, and they have this fantastic sense of humor as well. Again, Pisces gets labeled as very sensitive, and they are, but they're also just very loving. And, you know, they have that twinkle in their eye to remind you, like, yes, life is big. We are so much more than our, you know, physical form, but like, we can also kind of poke fun at ourselves for the human moments that are worthy of just kind of letting go and laughing about.
I cannot agree more. I literally just got off a call, a reading with the Pisces.
Yes.
And the creative energy was so intense. It was like so incredible. And you can really truly, they were naturally psychic as well.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're psychic. You know this, right? like you're definitely psychic. Yeah. Pisces are good people.
Yeah. 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 And the sensitivity that we're talking about is both their greatest gift, but also it can be an incredible vulnerability if they become trapped on the surface of their life or their psyche, or, you know, they can get very lost in their feelings if they're not truly processing, you know, or become simply overwhelmed by the emotions altogether. And Pisces has a very difficult time with anger and violence and these heavier sentiments, and it can cause them to really want to like escape, to have, instead of having to deal, you know, head on with these harsher realities. So, you know, the sense of balance and reflection is really important for Pisces. And, you know, as a collective, as we're moving through this period of time, there is this call to really focus on how we can connect with ourselves in a more internal reflection, you know, and I was thinking about this the other day, how, you know, Pisces season, there is the focus on selflessness and compassion, because Pisces is also the sign of unconditional love. And, you know, the season of Lent was born out of the archetype of Pisces. A lot of, you know, you see the symbol of the fish being attributed to Jesus and Christianity, and there's no mistake of where that's come from. You know, that's where we find these themes of altruism and self-sacrifice and, you know, reflection and retreat and divine service and connection. And so, you know, for Christians, Lent is a time of retreat where one becomes more in touch with their reflective nature. And those same themes apply to, you know, the season of Pisces, becoming more in tune to our intuitive and divine nature, closer to our higher selves, you know, more getting out of our heads, coming out of Aquarius season, which is very intellectually based because Aquarius is an air sign, and moving more deeper into our hearts. And Pisces, that sign of unconditional love. So, you know, when we consider these qualities, it's not surprising, again, that the figure of Jesus, like I said, is associated with the sign of the fish or Pisces, you know, the great redeemer who offered humanity salvation through his own suffering. That's another quality of Pisces. So, you know, whether it's something that you celebrate, the, you know, Lent in the Christian tradition or not, where the calendar is right now and how it coincides with Pisces season is really this culmination of going inward and reflecting, and thinking about the greater good, our higher purpose and calling, you know, and a sense of liberation from the ego, being reunited with our cosmic oneness, which is very much, you know, also woven into the story about Jesus and, you know, Lent leading up to Easter, letting go of our human form and coming back to our cosmic oneness. So yeah, you know, there is this deeper theme of healing and awareness that comes out of Pisces season. And like I mentioned, anyone that has a planet or point in Pisces, the underlying motivation of that planet is about going deeper and deeper and deeper and becoming more vast, more accepting, less resistant. And, you know, spiritual liberation takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage to leave your past behind. And many religions speak to this truth in total. You know, Christianity talks about it, Buddhism talks about it, all about moving forward towards a path of rebirth and renewal in the sense of the word of our soul. So, you know, we don't often hear the word courage being associated with the sign of Pisces. And I think that's because I think when we think of the word courage, we think of something really bold, right? But you can be bold and still soft. You know, you can be courageous without standing on the mountaintops, you know, screaming about your liberties. You know, Pisces has more of this passive, quite gentle energy that patiently waits for salvation. But there's also courage that comes with stepping into the unknown, which is what this is all about, this profound lesson of returning to oneness. And that's why there's this sense of escapism that's associated with, or fantasy that's associated with Pisces, this desire to return to the comfort and safety of our creator, or, you know, the womb, or wherever it is where all of our needs are met, that we are protected and cared for. And, you know, that journey into the unknown is one of courage. It takes determination and courage. And, you know, Pisces is the last sign of the zodiac. So we're ending our cycle here. You know, and so at this threshold, we're looking back at this last year, not in a calendar term, but in regards to the zodiac, thinking about what have we learned? You know, and we're getting to the point where we're needing to pass through this symbolic doorway to move into the sign of Aries, where we start over again, not knowing what else is going to be on the other side waiting for us in terms of our personal development or our spiritual journey, the evolution of our soul. But again, this notion of courage, of letting go, surrender, such a powerful, powerful word associated with Pisces, you know, letting go of the ego, the dark night of the soul, culmination of faith. I mean, these are all Piscean truths that allow us the courage to face the light at the end of the tunnel or the new day that's dawning on us. So very, very profound lessons of Pisces, because it is the culmination of all of the lessons that we've learned from the other signs that come back to the evolution of our soul. And it's a lot of like reflecting, I think, and making sense of who we are, what we've learned, and where we're going, and wanting to do so with that sense of courage of moving into the unknown.
Gosh, you're like an astrologist poet. Well, I lost in your words. I'm like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, Pisces, there is the romantic side to them as well, because they, you know, they're connected to the planet Neptune, which of course Neptune is associated with our dreams. And there is this kind of rose colored glasses, you know, lens that Pisces sometimes can view the world through. Obviously we understand that the dark night of the soul is anything but a, you know,
right,
you know, ray of sunshine, but it's still understanding that there's beauty and opportunity to be received through these, you know, more difficult challenges of life, and the introspection that comes with acknowledging our pain and our woundedness and our very, very deep naked truths. That's hard work. That is warrior work, having to go that far into ourselves. Yeah. Yeah.
It very much is, because I just, everything that you were just saying, I was just, you know, I really don't like, we went into Aquarius, you know, we were in Aquarius, then we go into Pisces, and it, I wasn't even, obviously I was aware of it, but I really was just living my life. And I realized that when we entered into Pisces season on the 19th, things very much shifted in my life, where it was just naturally, you know what I mean? I felt like I was much more in my heart rather than my head. And yeah, it just shifted very naturally. You know what I mean? Like sometimes we're in a very mental season of our lives where we're thinking and we're just, you know, up in our heads. And then we go into a very more heart-centered, emotional area of our lives. And like looking back at the last 2 weeks, it was like, wow, there was a huge shift that just occurred naturally, where I just kind of got out of my own head and tuned more into my heart and, you know, brought up the naked truths in my own self that I had to work on, that I have to work on. And just like how you just like went, you channeled that shit. There's no, like, that was like poetic, Hannah. Like, holy crap. Like, where did she get this? Like, it like spoke to my soul, girl. But
love it.
Yeah, that was spot on. And I never even thought, like, I got to be honest, I know about the Christian fish, never thought it was something to do with Pisces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you really think about the lessons, like the true lessons of mm-hmm. what Jesus came to, you know, the world to bring, it is all of those things, faith, letting go, you know, the cycle of death and rebirth and renewal, coming closer to our divine oneness, you know, and sacrifice. There, all of those things are very inherent to those, to the sign of Pisces, and also, you know, for Jesus. And, you know, I'm sure that there will be people that will, and I know that there are people that, you know, have nothing, don't want anything to do with religion and astrology meeting together. But when we look at it from more of a anthropological viewpoint of, you know, these are stories that have been shared over millennia, right? That there is all of these similarities that get woven in together, and it's no coincidence, you know? So, you know, our ancestors thousands of years ago were looking to the sky to understand what was going on, and seeing how what was playing out in the stars seems so much simpler than what's happening on Earth in terms of like our human interactions, you know, between war and strife and these really challenging human cycles that we go through, and trying to put all of those pieces together to understand the big whys. And so, yeah, there is those connections. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can enjoy Pisces season without any relative focus on Lent or Christianity. But, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, and so I recognize those parallels, and they feel profound to me. And while I don't consider myself necessarily a Christian anymore, I value those lessons that I learned, because what I take away from those, you know, upbringings for me is about unconditional love. It's about the courage to surrender and let go, and trusting that God, or, you know, source, universe, whatever you want to label it as, has our best interest in mind, and that we are here for something greater than ourselves. And that's major, you know, that is
it major. Is major.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So, yeah, you know, it's interesting, as you were mentioning about that kind of natural shift in focus for you this month, that I have felt that too. And I was even just recalling our conversation a couple of days ago, where I'd said to Erica, I've just been so busy this month. And of course, I've had some stuff going on in my personal life, or I've been ill, and then our dog had emergency surgery, and like we had a horrible winter storm, and it really impacted my workflow and my calendar. And so I've been struggling to catch up. And I was saying to Erica, I just feel like I need to make time to daydream, to just connect with my higher self. I just want this open, vast space to just play in my dreams for a while, which is such a Piscean thing. And I didn't even realize, you know, I didn't even make that mental note until you were mentioning it just now, where it's like, yeah, I guess I'm also feeling that too, where I just want to kind of get out of more of the intellectual piece and just swim in this depth of consciousness and see where, you know, my dreams and my soul want to take me. So if you're feeling that too, make time for it, because it is so powerful, you know, to just allow ourselves to be in that moment of reflection and openness, and open up to our intuition as well.
Yeah. Love that. It is funny how that just naturally happened.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And like, once we start talking about it, you put all the pieces together. So I have no doubt that people listening too will be reflecting on this past couple of weeks, and also having their light bulb moments, because it's not coincidental at all.
You know, too, and what I'm thinking of is, like, I think, you know, we're always going into different seasons. Every month we're going into a different season, but I feel as though when we go from an air sign to a water sign, that's a big shift.
It is.
That's a very big shift. I don't think it's going, you know, I think like with water signs to an earth sign, it's not as drastic.
Yeah, it's just different focus.
It's different. It is different.
But there is an exhaustion, I think, that comes from after being in such an intellectual space for a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, with Aquarius, it's such a, there's such a focus on purpose and collective progress, right? These really mm-hmm. forward thinking ideas. It can become exhausting after a while that we have to remember that in order to help anyone, we also have to be helping ourselves. And that's coming back into this reflective space, moving from the head back into the depth of the heart. And for some people that will be a natural and welcomed shift. I, for one, am one of those people mm-hmm. because I don't have a lot of air in my chart, but for other people that might be really difficult. It is hard sometimes to make that mental shift from moving out of our minds and more deeply into trusting what's coming up from a very heart-centered place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both have such incredible value and they have a necessary influence in our life, and we need to honor that. But if you're someone that has a difficult time with getting out of your head, it's okay. Like there are plenty of ways that you can connect more deeply with your heart that are going to feel authentic to you. And I think that's the lesson of Pisces, is really doing it in a place that honors who you are at a soul level. So don't feel like your journey has to be a parallel to anyone else's.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, let's keep moving through March.
Go
so
for
we could
it.
Just chat. Okay. Yeah. So March 3rd, Mars is going to be moving out of the sign of Taurus, where he's been for a while, into Gemini. So there is a focus more on this restless energy that Gemini exudes, but also an ease of speech, an interest in intellectual challenges and versatility. You know, the underlying agenda for Mars and Gemini is to not let fear silence our voice, and becoming brave enough to claim the right to be heard. You know, likewise, there's this commitment to endless learning and experience, pursuing whatever triggers our curiosity and interest. So this season of Mars and Gemini is really about mental adventures and cultivating an open mind. Geminis are some of the most open-minded people I've ever met. And it's because they just have this capacity to be so curious. They just want to know information for the joy of knowing it. And so if you feel intellectually intimidated by something or an area or a realm, here's your invitation to really dive into your studies or development so that you can cultivate the confidence in your own knowledge and your own voice. You know, to remember that if you are someone that maybe is hesitant to really open up and share or speak, remember that you have a voice and a message that's worthy of being heard. Sometimes the loudest messages aren't always the ones that need to be received the most widely. And you don't have to be yelling or screaming to get people to hear you. So, you know, there is this focus of learning and also sharing. So it's a great time if you are someone that has been interested in taking a workshop or a class or working one-on-one with a mentor. Do it. Allow yourself to jump down the rabbit hole of curiosity. Read all the books, you know, take the courses, do what you want to do to help gain your sense of confidence and mastery within a particular area of your life. I'll just say that Mars and Gemini can be a little bit argumentative. So, you know, don't seek to win arguments just to be right, just to prove your intellectual ability, or for the sake of being unintentionally abrasive. You know, if you are going to engage in an exchange or an argument with someone, keep it with a curious, open mind, right? That's the thing about Gemini, is like, they get to the point where they realize they've learned something and then they're ready for whatever is after that. So it is being open. Don't become so close-minded of what you already know that there isn't room for, you know, expansion. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, if you set out to be defensive, you miss an opportunity to learn something that may be really important or necessary for you or interesting. So keep an open mind with your motivations this month. Challenge yourself, put yourself out there, speak up and share your ideas, your messages. Don't be afraid to put yourself in a position where others can see you and hear you. Like I said, remember that you have a message that's worthy of being heard. So, you know, value value what you have to say and trust what you have to share. All right, let's move on to our first new moon of March. Well, it's our only new moon of March. March 13th, we have new moon in Pisces, which this new moon is so beautiful because we also have Venus that is conjunct to Neptune at 20 degrees. So we have these beautiful, dreamy energies coming in for the new moon. So it's a really healing time. It's a very solitary new moon. It's not a socially engaged one. It's one about channeling our psychic sensitivity, you know, our emotional body and our divine nature is really heightened during this period of time. So open yourself up to these spiritual possibilities, go inward and explore the depths of your consciousness and soul and tend to any mending of unresolved emotions. So it's a really good time to dive into, you know, a beautiful meditation or some journaling or, you know, automatic writing. But remember that those meditative practices can be more than that. You know, experiencing serenity could be just sitting quietly outdoors or being near the water or watching a beautiful sunset. The aim here is really to empty the mind and become more aware of the heart. So, you know, let any heaviness or distraction settle so that you can experience that sense of clarity within you, which is so important. And excuse me, likewise, you know, we have this beautiful conjunction happening with Venus and Neptune, which really amplifies these senses of tenderness and our sentimental nature, and also an eagerness to connect greater with love, since Venus is, of course, the, you know, the planet of love. So feel grateful for all of that. Feel grateful for your ability to feel so deeply, you know, feel grateful for the love that you have in your life. It's a really fantastic moon to really offer yourself some grace and kindness and to dive into some kind of creative or artistic experience as well, since both Venus and Neptune, which is Neptune is the ruler of Pisces, are very creative and they love artistic expression. So, you know, connect with some kind of art that really elevates your consciousness or lifts you out of the physical world in some way and connects you more deeply to your heart and your sensitivity, which could be writing. It could be a movie. It could be music. I mean, art comes in such a spectrum of material. So, you know, just listen to what calls to you. And I can think of so many beautiful sacred practices that people can indulge themselves in for the new moon in Pisces. But truly, it is about renewal and regeneration. So just make it feel really lush where you can focus on yourself.
I'm already thinking of like, ooh, what am I going to put in my bath that night?
Yeah. Well, bath would be beautiful since it does, you know, it does elevate the element of water, which Pisces is a water sign. So, you know, go wild with curating something really gorgeous for yourself.
Almost like some rose petals or some, oh my God.
Yeah. Rose would be beautiful. Cause that also, you know, balances that energy between Venus and Neptune and Pisces. So, rose would be beautiful. Neroli, magnolia, any of those really beautiful divine feminine, florals or essences or oils.
I was going to say ylang ylang.
Ylang ylang would be beautiful too. Yeah, absolutely. See, look at you. You're already thinking of what you're
I know. Cause you're talking about all the new moon and I'm like, oh, she just, it's, you're a poet. You're like a poet. And I'm like, yes, you're getting me in that space already. Damn it.
Go wild with creativity.
Yeah. Yeah. And then guys, when you do your new moon bath, do a Insta story and tag me and Hannah in it. Cause we would love, love, love to see what you guys have intuitively created for yourselves with this beautiful new moon.
Yeah. Or even if you don't take a bath, like, I want to see what you're doing. Tell us.
We don't want to see you naked in the bath.
We respect your privacy.
We respect your privacy, but we would love to see what crystals you intuitively pick up or what essential oils or flowers or whatever. I love seeing how people access their own intuition and how it's always what they need at that time.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I
love it. Please tag us.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move a little deeper into March. March 15th, Mercury will be moving into Pisces. So we've got this heightened Piscean focus here by the middle of March. And Mercury in Pisces is all about exposing our intelligence and our minds to the non-ordinary perceptual states. So this is about connecting with our with the unconscious, cultivating our intuition, the development of our cycle, our psychic faculties, which all help, you know, support our growth and our evolution. And, you know, Mercury traditionally is the ruler of Gemini and Virgo, so much more intellectual and then also earth-based signed. But when Mercury is in Pisces, there is still that underlying communicative focus, but it comes from a higher place. So we are seeking to learn from direct experience of the larger framework of consciousness, not just the mind. It's about emptying the mind, right? In order to enter it from a higher space and surrendering to speaking from the heart and trusting our intuition and celebrating our imagination. I can't tell you, Erica, how many times I have readings with people and their guides will insist that this person really needs to surrender themselves to some kind of a creative practice or flow mm-hmm. or connecting with that creative side of themselves. And, you know, a lot of times my client will be like, well, I'm just not very artistic. And it's like, you need to open your mind yeah. to what creativity is, because you can be creative and build things. I mean, mm-hmm. how do you think Elon Musk is getting these rockets up into outer space? That is yeah. a creative pursuit, even if it's right. based in science, you know? So it's opening our mind and celebrating the ways that each of us are creative. And yes, for some people that might be from a very artistic place with color and music and tones and all of these, like, you know, really rich aesthetic experiences. And for other people, creativity might be putting together or creating something on their computer, or, mm-hmm. you know, building something with their hands or with structures. You know, there's so many ways to celebrate your imagination. So don't limit yourself here, because it's important to connect with that higher sense of divine inspiration. And it comes to us in so many unique ways. You know, the other piece of this is really speaking and listening. This month are going to be more comfortable when it comes from that heart-centered place again, and really breaking away from any kind of rigid mental framework or strict mental discipline. So it's this need for spontaneous expression, which I think really amplifies beautifully this celebration of our imagination, so that we are more open to deeply receiving inspiration as well.
Oh my God, you're so spot on. You're so spot. No, I'm serious, because I am not a creative person. I can hardly create a stick figure. Okay. I can't draw. I don't do that well. But what I have learned is that we are creators. Each and every one of us are here to create something, whether that is create a home, you know, home design, create food, create things that nourish our soul. Okay. Like I said, I think that we've labeled creative as like artists, and that's not the case whatsoever. And once you learn the thing that you could do to create, whether that is making mood boards or, I don't know, making cheese platters. Have you ever seen that TikToker that like does
I follow five of them. Yes. Amazing. My Taurus rising is all about it. But it's gorgeous, and it's food.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah,
it's,
it is.
It's a masterpiece. It's a total masterpiece. And it's just find that thing that makes you happy, that's creative. Like for me, what I realized, I'm a writer. Like I need to write. That's how I create. I need to bring my thoughts and put it on paper, where, you know, somebody else is a food blogger or somebody else is into watercolors. I follow someone on TikTok. Why does everything like turn into TikTok? I don't know. But I found this one girl that takes palettes. Like she takes Jeffree Star palettes of his eyeshadow, takes the eyeshadow out and creates watercolor paint with it.
Wow.
And I'm like, who would have thought?
Right.
And they're beautiful.
Yeah.
Like the things that she creates with it, I'm just like, oh my God, these are the most vivid colors I've ever seen in my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also follow someone on TikTok that takes old
liquor bottles, and this is a guy that does it, takes old liquor bottles and creates these amazing freaking candles.
Yeah. Wow. That is awesome.
Isn't it? Like, it's just, it doesn't have to be mainstream creativity.
Right.
But find something, you know?
Yeah. I mean, creativity can also be figuring out a new solution to something. I mean, it doesn't have to be limited to creation in any kind of artistic sense. Like, I think about, you know, my Virgo friends, or those of you that are more focused on structure and organization. If you have a strong Saturn placement in your chart, creativity for you might be looking at a problem and figuring out a solution to, or maybe it's organizing, you know, some piece of your house. Maybe you really enjoy that. Like, maybe it's some kind of interior decorating. Maybe it's making the flow of your house, you know, more effective, the energy there. Maybe it's rearranging your pantry or your refrigerator, but not doing it because you feel like you have to, but because you feel good doing that kind of organizational work. And that can also be creative because you're figuring out a solution that may not be so obvious, and it's going to be the perfect way for you to do it, to help yourself and help your life move in a more streamlined or efficient manner. So yeah, there's lots of ways to connect with your creativity. So just lean into that. You know, this is also a really excellent time when we're talking about Mercury and Pisces to seek or connect mentors or guides or anyone that can help you more effectively connect with your intuition. We're moving away, you know, from anyone, you know, that wants to sway you with their ego. Okay. Mm-hmm. Don't go to those people. Instead, look for those humble and compassionate beings that really want to help you amplify your life in that regard. I just feel like over and over and over again, I'm hearing this call from people. I want to connect with my intuition. How do I develop my intuitive voice? How do I trust my intuition? And there's obviously, Erica and I just get lit up by the opportunity to get to work with you guys and help you with that. But there's, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously there's lots of beautiful guides that can help you do that and resources. So if that's something that's been on your heart, this is a beautiful time for you to really pursue that and work on amplifying your intuition.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So March 20th, this is our spring equinox. Aries season begins. It's the new year of the zodiac, if you will, because Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. I'm ready for spring.
Ready for freaking spring.
I'm ready.
I know.
So we'll talk more in depth about Aries season next month, but I do just want to mention that March 20th marks the turning of the wheel, right? The starting of a zodiac. Aries is a cardinal sign, like Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. And it represents a fresh start and also this intrepid passion for new beginnings. So that's I think why we're wanting to move forward. You know, we're anticipating that there is something waiting for us, and we're utilizing this time right now to reflect during Pisces season, coming inward and remembering and going over all of our lessons, so that when we dive into this new chapter that's unfolding for us by March 20th, we are eager and passionate to move forward. So, fun fact, the word equinox means equal night. So we're also turning towards a day or a time of year where, depending on where you live, the days or the nights will be getting longer. So, you know, for us in the Northern Hemisphere, the days are getting longer as we head towards summer. If you're in the Southern Hemisphere, you know, this will be your fall equinox, where your days are going to be getting shorter. So, you know, Aries season in spring for us in the Northern Hemisphere is really about that sense of initiation, you know, fresh starts, fertility in some sense of the word, creating and birthing something new. We're getting in touch with our personal autonomy and really gathering an awareness of our independent nature so that we can accomplish our solo feats and projects with increased energy and vigor and drive. That all comes from the ruling planet Mars here. But, you know, we're going to be really looking at our goals and motivations and what we're keen to accomplish and checking in with ourselves to see where we've already made progress. Because March 20th, or the spring or fall equinox, depending on where you live, also ends the first quarter season of the business world. So, you know, it's looking back and seeing where we need to make some adjustments or some attunements as we move into the second quarter. You know, have we accomplished the goals that we've set out for ourselves? So it is kind of a checkpoint as well of figuring out where we want to go moving forward and what we need, what kind of resources we need to get there.
Yes.
It's kind of crazy thinking like there's already like a first quarter of the year is over, because I feel like we just kind of stepped into 2021.
I know.
You know, 25% is almost gone. So yeah, it's just, I don't know. Time flies.
It does.
It's such a lame thing to say, but it is so true. Okay. Well, the next day, March 21st, Venus will be moving into Aries. So, you know, when Venus is in Aries, there is this increase in enthusiasm and charisma, passion, kind of more of a demanding character in terms of love, but also an entrepreneurial spirit. This is the expression of sexuality and the enjoyment of our intimate pleasures as well during this time. But Venus in Aries is focused on getting past anything that stands in the way between us and genuine intimacy in our lives. And intimacy can be, you know, however you want to describe that, whether it is sexual intimacy or it's just intimacy with people or our partners in our life that really matter to us. And this can be achieved through directness, you know, not being afraid to ask for what we want or we need from our partners, facing our own blocks or our fears that keep us from experiencing intimacy in our relationships, or something that is just simply limiting these experiences altogether. So, you know, there is this sense of honesty and truthfulness, because Venus in Aries doesn't have any time for games or lies. She is loyal, but she expects other people to be loyal as well. And, you know, don't let any feelings of discomfort or, you know, being upset about something, don't let those negative feelings fester below the surface, because the shadow side of Venus in Aries is that she can become very passive aggressive and resentful if she doesn't come from the courageous place of being authentic in her relationships. So it's being open and direct about what we feel in the moment and not being afraid to voice that, you know, setting boundaries too of what's appropriate in these relationships or partnerships, what we will accept and what we won't accept. But Venus is also focused on company and being around people who exhibit these very truthful and honest qualities. So, you know, seeking time with those people that make you feel like you can be yourself. It's also, you know, a benefit of connecting with our physical bodies, because Aries is very attuned to our physical nature. So, you know, exploring exercise, appreciating and honoring our bodies, maybe dancing, letting off steam in a healthy way, you know, passionate music that gets you moving, adventure and spontaneous moments, is all about Venus in Aries. She seems to kind of have like Venus in general kind of has a spotlight this month, because she is, you know, she has her energy that she's bringing towards the new moon on the 13th, and then she's moving into Aries, and she will also be, you know, a focus, the full moon as well, which we'll get to in just a second. But yeah, starting to move into more of the forward focused momentum, that direct energy of Aries is coming towards us towards the end of the month.
I feel like Venus and Pisces make a good match.
They do. Venus and Pisces is very, very intuitive. It's all about connecting with your intuition and that deep sense of unconditional love. Whereas Venus and Aries is very much more direct and autonomous. So they're very different vibes when she moves from Pisces to Aries. Mm. Yeah. Okay, well, let's keep moving. Cause I just talk people. All right. March 21st, we also have Mars in Gemini in a trine with Saturn in Aquarius. So a trine, remember guys, is a favorable aspect. It's where there is very supportive and harmonious energy between the luminaries that are involved. So Mars in Gemini and Saturn in Aquarius, two air signs. This is all about hard work and determination and focus on our commitments, increased productivity, but also with the element of teamwork and alliances. So this is a really ideal time for you to follow through on something that you're passionate about and to plan some long-term tasks here. So if you feel like you missed the ball with intention setting, maybe during the Aquarius new moon last month, March 21st, beautiful time to also reevaluate your intentions and set some more if you feel like you need to. You might be thinking about, you know, what challenges are bringing together your sense of adventure with your sense of determination and grit, because those are the energies of Mars and Aquarius, or excuse me, Saturn. Saturn is all about, you know, discipline and determination and focus. And Mars is that sense of adventure. It's that warrior spirit, that spontaneous, passionate energy. So, you know, think about the areas in your life that require these elements right now, or what challenges or feats are you nervous or afraid about facing, but you know that you should be probably doing anyway. So it's finding a way to be full of life, even when it requires a great deal of focus and discipline from us. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Erica's like, I can think of plenty of those right now.
I know. I'm thinking, no. Like, I know. I'm like, oh God. Yeah, I know.
But it doesn't have to feel heavy, and it shouldn't be. It's the things that we want, you know, that we know that are important, that we need to be focused on. And don't allow it to feel dreadful. Like, you know, Mars wants to have a good time, and Mars wants to win. So it's things in our life that we are ready to really take, you know, the steering wheel on and move forward with, and understanding that we have this beautiful, supportive, earthy energy from Saturn to help keep us grounded and focused on actually materializing. Instead of just saying we're going to do something, Saturn's like, okay, now prove it. So the two together are really fantastic if there's something that you are working hard to make come to life, or you feel like you just need the space to be focused about, or to set some big intentions for yourself, wherever you are on that spectrum of planning, and manifesting, allow this energy to really help you, cultivate, progress. Mm-hmm. Okay. The last piece that I want to mention for March is our full moon, March 28th, full moon in Libra. And the focus of this moon is all about striking a balance. Recall that the sign of Libra is focused on finding serenity by means of balance and moderation and understanding. So during this full moon, we see this polarity of Aries and Libra, who are opposite signs on the zodiac. You know, for one, the sun is in Aries, which represents the self. And actually the sun is exalted in Aries. So it's a very powerful placement for the sun. And the moon is in Libra, which represents partnerships. So whereas Aries is about self-assertion, Libra is about compromise. So you can see this kind of tension of duality of how this is playing out. So, you know, the full moon is urging us to strike a balance between meeting our personal needs and attending to the needs of others, balancing between autonomy and dependence. And where this duality plays out really depends on where 8 degrees of Libra and Aries falls in your chart. And that will give you a really good clue as to the parts of your life that are seeking these levels of balance within these themes. But I do anticipate that relationships will also have a really big focus during this full moon, because Venus will also be conjunct to the sun at 8 degrees of Aries. So we have Venus again, that is really bringing to the surface these revelations about our independent nature within our partnerships, you know, our need to find our true compatible companions in life. And likewise, we have Saturn in a favorable trine with the North Node, and also Mars is conjunct the North Node in Gemini. So, you know, Saturn is also playing a role here. And Saturn is harmonizing in a sextile with the sun and the moon. So we have a lot of beautiful structure and support and momentum to help us with our interpersonal interactions. And all of this brings greater clarity of how we want to structure our relationships and set limits, or maybe even simplify our lives in ways that are going to help lead us to more major improvements. But Libra's shadow side can be people-pleasing tendencies for the sake of harmony. So during this full moon, really lean into the Saturn and Mars influence to help clarify what your actual needs are within your relationships, not just what you think you need to be doing to make other people happy, as well as, you know, the general needs in your life. Remember that your commitments to others should not overshadow or eclipse your own authenticity or desires. There is room for both. So, yeah, there's a lot of personal reflection here. And like I said, amplified with relationships because of Venus being conjunct the sun. And like I said, if you want to know more about where this focus is specific to your life, go peek at your natal chart and find where 8 degrees of Libra and Aries falls and see what houses are being activated by these energies.
Seems like a nice month.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have any planets in retrograde. We don't have any harsh squares for now. Yeah, it is. It's a month of reflection.
Yeah.
Catching our breath, reconnecting with our soul and our sense of self. And then, you know, by the end of March, we feel like we've reset our batteries and we're ready to move into this second quarter and blaze some trails, man. I mean, it's good stuff. Yeah. You know, I do think that the summer is going to give us also some more of this really fantastic reflective energy, because Jupiter will be moving into Pisces later this summer. You know, before we have all of our planets, not all of them, but you know, summertime is when we have our annual retrograde season with the outer planets. So yeah, it is a time of kind of catching our breath and just reconnecting, getting ourselves above water and, you know, doing what we need to do to really take care of ourselves. I mean, we've been through a lot, people, between the last like 3 months, but also the last like, God, it's been a year.
200 years.
Yes. Well, yeah. I was going to say a year since all of the COVID stuff kicked off.
I know.
But then you said 200 years and it also made me think of the clip from Titanic when the old lady's like, it's been 84 years.
And I could still smell the fresh paint.
Yeah. Yes. That's how it feels when I think about COVID. It's like, God.
I know. It's scary that like I was looking at it and I was setting up my calendar for March and I was like, holy shit, it's been a year.
I know.
It's been a year.
And we've all aged
5
ever so gracefully.
Yeah.
But honestly, our lives have changed. Our normal has changed, right? I even watch TV shows now that have been filmed pre-COVID and I see people like hugging and getting close. And I'm like, there's a part of me that instantly is just like, where's their mask? What are they doing? Like, you know, because we've been conditioned at this point to like, that's where we are at. That's where we're at. The pandemic has been such a part of our life. And I can't think of anyone that I have met or can even imagine at this stage that has not been affected in some way, or their work hasn't been affected, or their livelihood has not been affected in some way by all of this. It's just wild.
It is wild. I was just talking to my husband last night because my friend stopped by and they're both turning 35 this year. So it's a big year. Mm-hmm. And every 5 years we'll do something big for our birthdays. Like, so the last time we had something was 30 and they're turning 35 in October and November of this year. And I said, I'd love to do something, but I'm not doing it. I just can't, unless there's like some miraculous changes where like, you know, we don't have to wear a mask the whole time and we don't have to social distance and like, I'm just not going to do it, you know? And we were all like in agreement because it's just wild.
I know. My husband and I celebrated our 10-year wedding anniversary in January and our goal was always to take a big trip. And of course, it didn't happen. It's okay.
Same.
You know, we're going to put it on hold until we can really enjoy travel again. But
right.
Yeah, we're all just having to be, you know, more flexible. I mean, in some ways, I'm like, I'm so tired of that word. We have been stretched and expanded in ways that a year ago we couldn't even possibly imagine. And yes, some of that came with some really awful outcomes. I mean, I'm sure that there are people listening that have lost friends or family members, you know, mm-hmm. to COVID or COVID related illness, and, you know, or they've lost their jobs or, you know, whatever it is, there's always a major difficulty when we're talking about rapid growth and an expansion, and also just honestly, from the human standpoint, just dealing with this shit. But, there's always something bigger to be taken away from that. And mm-hmm. I mean, I just am so thankful for all the time that I've had with my kids and my family. And it's not that I didn't love them any less last year. It's just things have been put in a different category of priority and focus. They've really illuminated in that regard. And I'm so thankful. Yes, I don't like the homeschooling piece. I know you don't either. And so I'm happy when my kids are back at school, and for now they are, but when the times that they've had to be home, it's like, I just remember that I'm still getting something that I wasn't going to have if the mm-hmm. circumstances were different. And it's not easy. It's not easy to be parenting children during a pandemic, especially if you are, you know, a parent that works full time, and, you know, your spouse, your partner works full time. It is tough. There is a lot of sacrifice that all of us are doing at some extent. And if you haven't been used to having to do that, it is a challenge. And I mean, I could just circle back to all the Pisces lessons that we're reflecting on right now, but truly, like, that's what if you want to talk about a cycle that's ending, because all this COVID stuff was happening during Pisces season last year. Here's your full circle moment of thinking about, how have you grown? You know, how have you become more connected or disconnected from your sense of self? You know, what needs to be healed that you have experienced this year? Where can you offer yourself some more grace and forgiveness? We are all trying to do our best. You know, I was just reflecting too on, like, the election year and how a lot of people have felt hurt and betrayed and, misjudged. And I just feel like this is a time where we all need to be reflecting and going inward and seeking some sense of greater good, some higher purpose and transcendence of what we think that we know, so mm-hmm. that whatever it is, whatever baggage that we're carrying around can be forgiven or understood in a greater level of depth, and it can be released, because the water signs and Pisces is all about regeneration. It is about healing. It is about becoming something new again. And let this month be that chance for you. Reflect to heal.
Yes. Amen.
That's all I got. That's all I got.
I decided that as far as, like, COVID is concerned and just the state that we are in right now, to try to look at it in a different perspective, I think that this is the biggest, largest gratitude check that the universe can give us, because it really made me grateful for so many little things that we take advantage of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, going to the supermarket without a mask on.
Right. Getting to hug your friends spontaneously when you see them.
Yeah. Going and grabbing coffee with a girlfriend, or going to happy hour or something along those lines. And I think it really allowed us to see we don't need as much as we think we do.
Yep.
You know, of course, it's great to go out and socialize and be with friends and go to events and go to concerts and everything like that. But at the end of the day, I think this was a huge wake-up call for many people, you know, realizing that true happiness comes from within. And sometimes when we take the distraction away, it forces us to go within. It forces us to realize, like, I'm okay. You know, I miss going out with my friends. I miss going to concerts and events, and I miss doing all these things. But at the end of the day, I'm okay. Yeah. And I'll find happiness at home, and I'll find happiness in a book or in a bath or watching my favorite TV show. And I think it was just a big reality check for all of us,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And it puts, like you said, puts things into perspective of like, what do we truly need?
Yeah.
It is so little. And when we strip away everything else that we think that we have to carry around or focus on or have or whatever it is, and we get back to like the heart of ourselves and our purpose or our mission or that greater sense of good in our life.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very liberating feeling.
It is. If we allow it to. Yeah. Because I've seen this whole quarantine, you either go one of two ways. You either go and you lose your freaking mind, or you take this opportunity to go within, find hobbies, create something, learn more about yourself, work on yourself, maybe meditate, maybe, you know, read some books that you've been meaning to, watch those documentaries that have been on your Netflix watch list, and take this opportunity of this time out of life, basically, to walk out of it better than you were before.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree. And I mean, just to tie in the Pisces theme or element again, you know, the profound lessons of the Pisces archetype is that the return to self or the return to oneness or source is not a journey backwards into the past. It is a journey forwards into the unknown future. And so, you know, lamenting about what once was and our wanting to return to a past sense of normalcy is not the point. We can't learn that profound lesson by moving backwards in the past. It is moving into what we don't know, but trusting that it's going to be okay. And it's going to be what we need. And sometimes what we need, it's not really what we think that we want. It's challenging. It is frustrating. Those hard resets that we at a collective level are dealing with. But it's necessary. It is necessary to pass through those thresholds to continue becoming the people that we are meant to be, you know, and evolving.
And I think too, I need to say this is that we think that we, you know, we have this idea of ourselves of how things are supposed to plan out, like things, how things are laid out and what we essentially want for the outcome. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you that every idea, every plan that I've tried to execute in my life to get to a point has just never went to where I wanted it to be. And what I've learned is like, if it's meant to be, it's going to be. If it's meant to be, it's going to be. And sometimes we have to understand that there's forces so greater than our own ideas and wants and beliefs. And sometimes it's going to end up better.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the outcome is so much better than what we even want, but the path to it is going to be so much more of a shit show than we anticipated it to be. It's true. Yeah, it's true. It and, you know, sometimes like looking back at my life, I've been really reflecting because we're in that Pisces season. If someone were to have asked me 5 years ago what the next 5 years looks like, you know, because that's like a basic question that people ask. What does the next 5 years look like for you? It wasn't this.
Right.
I can tell you right now, it wasn't this. It wasn't being a professional psychic medium, teaching others to develop and taking transmediumship workshops and, you know, working from home. But it wasn't this, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that thinking about it now, like all the COVID stuff happened, what, March 17th or something like that? That was the day that the world stopped or whatever.
Yeah.
And having this be ending in Pisces season, which you basically said was like, it was the wrapping up. It's the wrapping up of everything. And it's the embracing the unknown of what's to come.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a beautiful transition, you know? It's definitely our normal is not the normal that we grew up with. And I don't, and I think that we have to understand that everyone wants things to go back to normal, but at the end of the day, it's never going to be normal again. What is normal? Like, what's normal?
I was never normal.
I was never normal.
That's why I'm in this work. I was never normal.
Yeah.
And I resolved to never be normal.
Yeah. What is normal? You know what I mean? Like, fuck normal. That's not, because it works so well for everybody. Normal works well for everybody. No, it doesn't. Embrace the uniqueness, embrace the uniqueness, embrace, and just have faith. You know, I think that we just have to have faith that everything is going to work out. Even if it doesn't look like it's working out, it's going to work out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, and that's not like blowing smoke, you know, up your ass about it. It's not being bypassing about being toxically positive or optimistic, but understanding that there will be challenges. It will be difficult. And what lies beyond the horizon, I don't know what that's going to look like, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. But I am curious, and I am open-minded to at least to continue to pursue the path that I'm on to see what that's like. Yeah. I'm not making my mind up about what it's going to be. I want to live a life of adventure and curiosity and learning and reflection. And all of those opportunities are going to come with pain and heartbreak and challenge and grief. But I also know that there will be room for joy and bliss and pleasure and ease and grace and flow and all that good stuff. So
bring it on.
Bring it.
Bring
it. Yes.
All right. Well, I'm glad that March is a lighter month.
It is.
It's good. I'm happy about it. I'm ready for it too.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. We'll see you next month.
Bye.
Bye.